I've listened to a few of them. I had listened to a couple this morning. They were smarter and better looking, but it doesn't mean, you know, that they have something more important to say than the other prophets. But you listen, because all the prophets are picking up something, and there should be a unification in the voice for the body. You realize that the prophetic voice and the prophets, you don't go to the prophetic church to get your, it's not Santa Claus. The prophetic office was not given to the church for you. The prophetic office was given for the common good, which includes you. It is to give the identity and direction and culture of the kingdom. It is to speak for God on who you are and what you are. Unfortunately, many people in the church want a prophetic voice that tells them whether to put the lid back down or whether to go to Walmart instead of Sobeys. You know, where the best parking spot's going to be. But they take their identity from the 6 o'clock news or from the internet or from the latest thing. When I was growing up, the latest thing was nuclear destruction. Maybe we'll get back there someday. They cycle. After that, it was we're all going to freeze in the dark. We're running out of oil. After that, it was we're all going to burn. We went back to freezing in the dark before we got to the current one. They've given up on the freezing, boiling thing, and they've just gone to climate change. Always be worried about the weather. Every storm you have is a long-term, 100-year cycle that caused that storm, right? Anyway, it's the latest. Now we got war in the Middle East. We've had war in the Middle East cycling since the 1990s. Then we had the Arab Spring. Then we have the collapse. How many remember Y2K? It's 20 years ago. Hey, wasn't that a good one? Swine fever, H1N1. I know Christians who are getting their identity and their social position from that kind of thing. What's that? Yes. Did they? I don't watch a movie. I'm sorry. I don't feed the animal. But okay. I just kept going. I figured if it really is a catastrophe, I'll buy another machine later. I won't buy anything before, right? Post-catastrophe is always a better investment than pre-catastrophe, I find. Elijah taught me that. He said, tomorrow it's going to be cheap. Today it's expensive. So, you know, if you're in a catastrophe, cash is king. Keep your money. Okay, now. All these things are swirling around in the world, but the prophetic voice is to come into first the body of Christ, the identity and structure and direction of the kingdom, the voice and the revelation of the glory. That's what the prophetic voice is for. If you don't know that, you may be wasting your time trying to figure out whether you should go to Walmart or Sobeys. You just keep getting it wrong. Because if you can't hear the big voice of the Lord, you're probably not hearing the small voice of the Lord very well. And you'll halt between two opinions. And you'll be a double-minded man. So exercise to hear the voice. Exercise to hear the voice. What past? Okay. Wasn't it interesting what Helen said this morning? Well, Helen thought it was interesting. Anyway, what Helen said this morning was Acts 28:22. Right, Helen? We're most anxious to hear you, the Romans said to Paul. Because this sect you belong to is spoken of badly everywhere. Everybody badmouths this sect. Did you notice that today? Even in Christendom, Christianity is badmouthed. How about that? We've kind of got a completion of the circle here. Prophet 1 said there is revelation that comes in 2020. It actually began in November and is increasing in December. It increased again and is to lead into the next year, but also the next decade, to establish and direct you and upgrade you for the next decade. One of the keys of that is praise and worship. Become spiritually oriented, disciplined to be a praise and worship person. The other discipline is don't be distracted, redirected. Get the old prophets out of your life. By, you know what I mean when I say old prophets. There was a young prophet who got a word from God, and then the old prophet came along and said, that word's wrong. You come to suffer with me. When he got him there to suffer, he said, now God's going to kill you because you wouldn't obey him. Nice prophet. But he allowed the things around him in his society to distract him from what he knew the Lord had said. In fact, he knew it so well, he'd already completed 3/4 of it. And then wandered off after another voice. Prophet 2. Nines are numbers of completion throughout the scripture. And 9 is completed. Now we are going into a new time, a new beginning, with new assignments, new blessings, new authorities. Get focused on that. Be ready for it. Be excited about it. Look for it. Do not listen to the world, which will tell you it's all going to hell in a handbasket. Actually, the world doesn't necessarily say handbasket. In a truckload. The economy is going to collapse. I remember when, in 2016, there's a large economy close to us, and they elected a new president, and all the soothsayers said the economy is going to collapse right now. This guy knows nothing. The guy was a businessman who had made a lot of money, but this guy knows nothing because he didn't know the political system. That economy has set records every year since. I said that to somebody who had this derangement syndrome, and they said, oh, yeah, well, that's just a little blip. 3 years is a little blip. I'll take 3 years, a little blip, any day. But new beginnings, get ready, get excited. Number 3. You know, we've been in the 5-7s on the Hebraic calendar. And this guy is got some Jewish roots, and so he says, I'm always being asked to become, to give these messianic and Jewish rooted prophecies. He says, I don't put much in it because I decided I'm going to be a Christian. And so there is an importance to Israel geopolitically. And he's American, and of course he's tied up in American things. That happens to them. It's kind of a myopic type country at times. But he said, I was asked to fill in for this prophet who was going to give this big God's calendar thing, and so I had to go look it up, he said. So I looked it up, and then that was 3 years ago when it started, and that was 5777. And he looked up 7, and 7 is a sword. It's also a sword, and the number 7 is the sword. It's just like 4. Four is a number, but it's also other words. I am for you, not against you, sort of thing. Now, he said, when he saw that, the Lord quickened to him that this the sevens were the clashing of swords. And for the last 3 years in the United States, you can see that there's been the clashing of swords. And there's been a lot of conflict. And it's been conflict internally and with other people in the world, etc., etc. He says, now we're in to 5780, which actually started in September, so he doesn't get excited about that. And he says, but the Gregorian calendar is going to 2020. And the Gregorian calendar, 2020, the 20 is pa, and that's hand. And it's two hands. And he says, the laying on of hands, the impartation of things in the spirit, the hands-on of the kingdom is going to increase. Go into all the world and heal the sick. How can you heal the sick? One of the ways is very simple. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. It's one of the specific injunctions to use the laying on of hands. There are other things that you do with laying on of hands, such as Timothy's ministry came from an impartation by the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is for the healing of the sick. And he said, that is going to come in here. But the clashing of the swords is sort of fading away. And what we're coming into now in 2020 is a time of the great blaspheming. And I kind of like Prophet Fee because he says things that I like, and I say things that he likes maybe, but he's never actually heard me say anything. Unless he's listening to our website at night, and I don't think he is. Anyway, he also agrees that the prophetic voice, and he's part of the prophetic circles in the States, he says the prophetic voice has kind of ruined itself by becoming a tea leaf operation. You go into church and you get into the big conference and you lay down your money and you put it in the bucket and then you get your prophecy. And I've been to those conferences, and a lot of those prophecies, they'll prophesy for everybody, and that's good. But sometimes they don't have anything to say. So they give them a general prophecy, which is just an exhortation. And, you know, like you go in there and 80% of the people are going to be specially anointed and they're going to go to far countries and they're going to bring great multitudes to Christ, right? But it's never sell the car tomorrow and wait for the truck in a month. You don't get too many of those. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't happen. But he says, we used to teach that the false prophet was someone who came into your church and couldn't deliver the good words. The great false prophet. At the end, there's a great false prophet. He says, I think we were kind of immature in that. The great false prophet, the Daniel little horn with the big mouth, the revelation of the great blasphemer. He said, I think it's actually the world media. For everywhere, as it says in Acts 28:22, that's what Helen told me this morning, they speak poorly of this sect. Now, the sect being Christianity. He says, they are speaking great things against the church. Bad thing number one, the church is listening. Bad thing number two, the church has no prophetic voice of its own. But instead, it's selling tea leaves. When it should be getting direction. The prophet in the Old Covenant was the voice of the kingdom. It was the voice of God to the king. So he got personal prophecies on what he might do as a nation. But there wasn't a lot of other things. Did other things happen? Yes. But you don't walk down the road looking for God to tell you whether to go to Walmart or Sobeys. Now, you can check your spirit. Your spirit will know things that you don't know. It'll reveal things to you. But the me gospel has got people chasing their own prophecy over the nation of the kingdom of God. And so they get in conflict. They get in conflict of what they should be doing. And they got into this, there was this phenomena that went through the church about 30 years ago. It was an interesting thing. It was 30 years ago. And before then, it really wasn't. But about 30 years ago, it came in. Before that, if you were involved with the ministry, you attended a meeting, you donated to it, you supported it. If you were involved with a missionary, they were usually covered by the body of Christ. You know, 100 years ago, they never talked about rapture. It wasn't in the church yet. It's the last 100 years that everybody got into this rapture. Pre-trib, mid-trib. I've had people come here and say, are you a pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib church? Because I have to make sure I'm in the right church. I was tempted to say, we're a pre-1910 church. And before 1910, in the King James or any other translation, the word rapture didn't appear. It still doesn't appear. So we don't get too excited about it. We follow Jesus. And the things that Jesus said are true, and they are going to come to pass. But Hal Lindsey won't necessarily come to pass. Now, about 30 years ago, they came into this thing, this interesting phenomena called partnership, where you didn't go to their church, you were just asked to donate so that they could carry on their church. And you mailed them money and a prayer request, and they said they prayed for you. And that money didn't go to the local church, to the widow, the orphan, or the alien, to the banqueting table. You set before me a banqueting table. One of the reasons you knew God loved you is that you got a party on God three times a year. They were the feasts. And you made sure you brought your stuff in for the feast, or you were robbing God. There was to be meat in that house. There's a distortion that's gone on in the body where people are getting... I get letters all the time. I'm popular. Dear Oak Bank Christian Church, would you like to partner with us? I'd love to partner with you. But I'll tell you how this one's going to work. You send me money, I'll pray for you. Okay. But the body began to lose concept of who they were. Who was my neighbor? Well, it's this guy in Tennessee. He's doing a wonderful thing. And he takes people over to Israel. Okay, that's good. That's who your neighbor is? It's the one you meet on the road that needs you. That's who Jesus said your neighbor was. But the one you meet on the road was Corban. I'm busy sending it to my partner. I can't help my neighbor down the road. So the neighbor down the road says, I don't want anything to do with your religion. I don't want anything to do with you and your philosophy. Now we're getting back to the idea that, well, some places we are. I know it's breaking out in different places, that there's actually a kingdom God's interested in. It's not somebody, Apollos or Paul, that's actually an immaturity. It's the Lord present because two or more of us are agreeing together. So when we come together, we know our kids are looked after. We know Wenzel's going to hand them candy and make sure their teeth are good. And they come looking for him, because he's part of their kingdom. We know these things. We know if we need help with an idea. We know who we can ask. We know how to help. And we know how to get helped. We know we have people who will believe with us, not hope someone opens my letter. If we don't get back there, when your house is burning down and you're trying to save a couple of pieces of paper so you can write the request and mail it away, you're going to wish you got into the kingdom. He said we've lost the proper function of the prophetic office, Prophet 3. They are to give the church its identity and its direction. Now, God will speak to you. He should be speaking to you all the time. The Holy Spirit is there to teach you and remind you of the things God said. He'll bring scriptures back to you so that you know what you should be doing in a circumstance. And it may be that a prophet will come along. They do in the scripture. They went along and said, separate unto the work of the Lord, Paul and Barnabas. But you see, that was a kingdom type of prophecy, wasn't it? It wasn't, tell Paul, I'm going to get him a new pair of shoes next week. Now, why is it that I don't like prophets selling tea leaves? Because you're not supposed to be on tea leaves anymore. Jesus didn't say, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you'd go to a prophet and he would talk for you. He said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say, it would obey. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. What am I supposed to believe? I'm supposed to believe that my word that goes out of my mouth will not return to me void, that it will cause things to bear and sprout. So I'm going to read you a few scriptures here. But first, Prophet 4. He says, interestingly enough, we're going into the decade of decreeing. Now, Prophet 1 had said, we're setting up for the next 10 years. This one says, we're going into the decade of decreeing. You shall decree a thing, and it shall come to pass. Now, why is it important to shift this mentality? Because we all prophesy according to our faith. That's what Romans 12 says. If your function is to prophesy, then do it according to your faith. And we all are to seek prophecy according to Corinthians 12. 14. Sorry. So, we are all to begin to grow up. Or as Paul put it, I want you to stop being babes, but to become mature. And the word babes means non-speaking one. We're newborn babes, we desire the word, but when you stop being a babe, you speak the word of faith which we are preaching. The word is near you, in your heart, and in your mouth. Okay. A decade of decreeing. Now, if you are not developed in decreeing, then you've never developed mustard seed faith. You haven't got to where you speak from your spirit and it obeys you, because you're always waiting for someone else to speak. And then, because of this immaturity, you wait to see if it happens. And if it doesn't happen, you say, that prophet's no good. Now, God told them through the prophet in Deuteronomy 28, they were going to be the head and not the tail, only over and never under. They were going to be established. They were going to be the rulers. They were going to dominate. They'll be the lender, not the borrower. And God never pulled it through. I guess that Moses guy was a false prophet. But actually, it went like this: if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God and be careful to obey all his commandments. See, if you don't get involved, and that was Prophet 3, he said, now he's saying that to the Americans. He's saying, everybody's sitting around saying, oh, Trump's going to be reelected, except these people who write the Christian magazines who say Trump should be impeached. He says, how dumb is that? The one president that actually did something for the church and gave it some spiritual space said he should be impeached. The guy's now retired, but he got that out of his system the month before he retired. He writes the big Christianity Today magazine or something. Anyway, he said there's a lot of talking. He said, I hear people, even people who say, they're saying it prophetically, Trump will be reelected in 2020. They got it off of Fox News or something. He says, I haven't heard that. What I'm hearing is if the Christians don't get out and do something, this is a vote process, and you better get out and do something. You win an election by doing something. And he says they better go out and do something.
30 million Christians in the United States did not vote.
And if they did vote, which way would they go? Would they go for the kingdom, or would they go for, you know, a better, someone who paved their back lane? Okay. Yeah. The Christian community is not on tap. Okay, let's read some scripture. Ephesians 6. I want to reinforce some of these concepts I've been throwing at you. So that you have a scriptural reference to begin to study, to show yourself approved. Ephesians 6. I like 6:1. That's always been interesting to me. There's two categories here in 6, the beginning of 6. If you've never read 5 and 6, you should. And help you understand how you operate in the kingdom. 4, 5, and 6 are all kingdom. And when you start to break them, you start to lose kingdom. 6, let's just read 1, then we're going to go over to 12. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. You see those two different categories? That's why you know it's kingdom. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Paul told many of them, I'm your father in the Lord. And then he says, honor your father and mother, because it's a commandment with promise. And all promises are yes and amen. So if you want to be well with you, honor your father and mother. Remember he rebuked the Pharisees for saying to their parents, well, I can't help you, I send it all to the church. That's how you get well. That it may be well with you and that you may live long in the earth. But the first commandment was, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This isn't long life. This is proper conduct. Do you have parents in the Lord? I'll leave that with you. 6:12. 6:12 will get us back on track. 4. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. There are 4 types of spiritual encounter, contest, battle. Start where you are, become faithful in a little. Start with the rulers, the spiritual rulers. They're local, and then there's powers above them. The guy who rules you is the RCMP with his photo radar, and he keeps you at slightly outside the law. If it's photo radar, it's 10 clicks over, and if it's other, it's 15 clicks over. But the power behind him is the government of Manitoba that makes the Highway Traffic Act. Even though his authority comes from the Canadian government as a criminal enforcement officer, they give him this other thing to harass the citizens called the Highway Traffic Act. Now, you see, there's two different levels there. You can talk to the police officer when he pulls you over, or you can go and fight the power down at the courthouse. Spiritually, these things exist as well. Actually, every authority and power on the face of the earth is probably a reflection of something in the spirit. This is interesting. But why was I talking about all this stuff about faith and how it works? Well, this is about the rulers and the authorities. Go back to John 5. Let's start at 521. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Okay? He's the Son of God. In fact, verse 24 is very important if you want to get people to understand salvation. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. That's not what I want you to get. Verse 27. He's talking about the Son. And he gave him authority. He gave him authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. He couldn't have got it if he was just an angel. Authority on the face of the earth lies with man. I know they want to blame God for the kids starving in Africa, but authority on the face of the earth lies with man. So if you decide that tree should move from here to there, and you have some faith in God, you have believed on him whom he sent and have passed from death into life, even so the Son who gives life to those he chooses. He chose that you could give direction to anything on the face of the earth. A storm, a tree, a mountain, a fish, an axe head, an oil jar, the flower in the pot. If none of it's obeying you, it don't care who's prophesying for you. Without faith, you can't please God. You will never walk in the prophecy. And it goes back to what I always teach every 3 years to bring people back around it, and it's based mostly in Romans 12, function, fruit, and call. Start with your function. Develop some fruit. For if you're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful in much. And if you develop fruit in it and your fruit remains and you have some joy out of it, he may give you a call, even though he gave you the function at the start. That's a summary of Romans 12. But people want the call before they produce any fruit. And they want the fruit before they even understand their function. You can have more than one function and you can change functions. That's all scriptural. But if you don't start somewhere, you haven't started. Don't start with the me gospel, someone give me a prophecy, and then God will make it happen. Start with God's prophets are saying this about his kingdom, and I am going after the kingdom. Third scripture. Give you some concept around that. 2 Kings 4. You know what that is. That's Elisha territory, not Elijah. It's the other guy. What did I say? 2 Kings, good for you. What chapter? Verse 9, 8. Now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman. It was actually a Shunammite woman in Shunem. And she persuaded him to eat food, and so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned into there to eat food. She said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, passing by us continually." Isn't this interesting? She's a Shunammite woman looking for some kingdom, looking for the Lord. She's got worldly kingdom. She's prominent. She's not broke. She buys new shoes every second month down at the local sandal joint. Leather, deerskin, cattle, pigskin. Who knows? She probably had it all. I perceive. You don't perceive things in your spirit unless you're looking. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed rattled by the wind? Jesus asked them. What are you looking for? I perceive that this is a holy man of God, passing by us continually. Please let us make a little walled upper chamber and let us set up a bed for him there. If she was going to get close to this kingdom, she had to get connection. She didn't mail it in. And a table and a chair and a lampstand that was richly furnished in those days. No TV, no internet, and she forgot to put the Netflix in. And a chair and a lampstand, and it shall be when he comes to us that he can turn in there. Let's serve this holy man. One day he came there and turned into the upper room and rested, and then he said to Gehazi, who was also Elijah's servant, by the way. He was the guy who became a leper when he decided to steal from Naaman. But he was still the servant. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." That wasn't a racist statement. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, who wouldn't talk to her. Protocol. "Say now to her, 'Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army? And she answered, on the worldly side, I've got my kingdom. I live among my own people. I'm a prominent person among my own people. She was established, Deuteronomy 28:11. But she wanted kingdom. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered. See, Gehazi was not without some discernment. Truly she has no son, and her husband is old. He said, call her. And she's already there standing before. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. So maybe she had gone away after that. Then he said, at this season, next year, you will embrace a son. Elisha was looking to do something for her, either because it was just in his spirit or the Lord was prompting him. He has her come. He says, would you like me to drop a word to the king or the army? You know, a prophet in those days could drop a word to the king or the army, and it meant something. Billy Graham could call the White House and something would happen. There was some kingdom running on the earth. And she said, I've got what I need. I am in my community. I don't mail it in, I live in it. The church has to get a hold of this. Glenn says this community is 1 mile drive, 1 hour drive from right here. That's what he says. He's not the first one who said it to me. He doesn't know that. But it's interesting how it's a witness for him. And then Elisha goes back to Gehazi and said, now, I don't know what to do. He wasn't operating as a personal prophet. He was operating as a kingdom spokesperson, turning to bless. His suggestion was rejected. Gehazi has to inform him, she doesn't have a son. Her husband is old. Isn't this interesting? Then he begins to move as a prophet. Observe this. And says, call her. And he says, next year at this time, you'll have a son. And she said, I live among my own people, get lost. She said, no, my Lord. O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. The woman conceived and bore a son at that season, the next year, as Elijah had said to her. Come ready next week with what you hear. I'm going home.